Hey guys, welcome back. This is Dental Unfiltered. I'm Matthew Brown. This is Dr. Andrew Ballo. We have an awesome episode for you guys today. It's accounts receivable. How much money are you leaving on the table? Doc Ballo is all growth minded and abundance minded, but Doc also, in doing that, is really good at protecting his resources. So I'm gonna let Andrew start here, but this is a really big kind of failure point in a lot of practices.
Yeah, guys, I'm really excited for this episode. We talk a lot about mindset and abundance, all that stuff. But I also enjoy these episodes where we kind of give you guys actionable items, the meat and potatoes, you may call it. And I do think that having strong financial policies and keeping your AR in check is huge. So I'm really excited to talk to you guys about what I've learned, over the last few years with my offices. Before we dive in, I wanted to say, first of all, thank you to everyone that's reached out to me. I've had a lot of docs reach out on Facebook, or sending me an email, or even some of the conferences that I've been at lately. I've had docs come up to me and tell me how much they've enjoyed the podcast. So guys, that really means a lot. As Matt often tells you guys, we don't have sponsors. That's for a reason. We've been approached by people wanting to sponsor the podcast, but we are trying to give you guys an unbiased, look. Any of the guests that come on, there's no pay to play. We're bringing on guests that we truly think are going to be beneficial for you guys. We're bringing on guests of services that I've used that have really helped my practices. So if you have been listening along and you have been enjoying the podcast, again, thank you for reaching out to me. It would really mean a lot if you guys would take a minute, leave us a review, follow the podcast, share the podcast with other dentists that you're friends with. It is a lot of work to kind of put a podcast like this on. And it really does mean a lot to Matt and I when you guys are able to, hit the follow and leave us a review and things like that. So thanks again, guys. Let's talk about how you can add more money to your bank account and the money that you may be leaving on the table right now with accounts receivable. To kind of intro this subject, when I first launched my first office, I did not have strong financial policies intact. Again, as Matt mentioned, I was very growth oriented, which I still am. Obviously we're trying to keep growing the group every year. But I was really mainly only focused on growth at that time. I was less focused on other KPIs. I was less focused on systems and policies. And, in order to lower barriers for patients, it did affect our AR. And we had a lot of bad AR at that time. And it was both patient AR and insurance AR. When we first opened, I didn't outsource any of our insurance. So I was, completely reliant on the woman who was running my front desk, who's no longer with our organization. I was reliant on her to make sure that all of the claims were being sent out appropriately, that claims were being paid, that unpaid claims were being appealed. And because of that, we ended up accruing a lot of bad insurance AR. At the same time, I didn't have a strong policies for our patient payments. We had patients that were walking out without paying for appointments. We had patients that we were extending kind of some mini payment plans to that we would just never hear from again. I think one of maybe the pivotal moments for me when I kind of realized I gotta make some changes here. I delivered a veneer case. I want to say it was maybe like 10 veneers. And it was a very difficult case. It was a very difficult patient. One of those days where you're just like, thank God I got through that. And then I checked the patient's account and noticed that she had left and she still had like a $3,500 balance for her veneers. So, she had prepaid for a portion of them, but, she still had a payment due today, of $3,500 the seat. And we did not collect before she came back. And my team was not able to collect as she left the practice. And this was in 2021. And as of now, that patient still owes us $3,500. So, you talk about lessons, there's a quote from an old golfer who has said, he never learns anything from the matches that he won. I think that's very true in life. You know, when things go well, we often don't learn a lot. Whereas when issues arise, that's when we, you know, learn from our mistakes, and that's when we make changes for the better. And I think that was a pivotal moment for me, because it was very difficult for me to not just eat that $3,500, but also like to get through that very difficult appointment, that very difficult patient, and then realize that she had basically stiffed us, you know, on her bill. It was a tough pill for me to swallow. So at that point in time, I started to, you know, take a look at what some of our financial policies were, and we started making some changes there. I think one of the biggest things, guys, is whenever a patient is coming back for treatment, whether it's a prep seat, you know, whatever it is, whatever balance they're supposed to pay that day, they pay before they go back in the chair. And that's something that is the responsibility of the front office team. It's also the responsibility of the back office team to make sure that the patient has paid, you know, their expected portion that day before they were brought back. For bigger appointments, for, you know, implant surgeries, right on the schedule, we have how much that patient owes that day, so that there's no question about it. That is checked, that is audited. You know, we've got a whole system about how, you know, those payments are calculated. We don't seat any crowns, veneers, we don't finish any treatment without balances being paid in full. So we do a lot of traditional financing these days. We don't do much at all in the way of payment plans. At the most, for, you know, multi appointment procedures like crown, bridge, veneers, we will sometimes split it up into, you know, 2 to 3 payments, but that final payment is due before we bring the patient back, you know, to seat their crown or bridge. You know, and you may be listening and you may have even stricter policies than that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, I will say, you know, playing devil's advocate to our policy, there are times that patient just never comes back to get that crown seated. But that's pretty rare. It's more likely that they're going to want to come back and finish their treatment. But once that treatment is done, if you haven't collected the payment, it's a lot more difficult to get the payment at that point. So I think that's a good starting point there, Matt. Yeah. You know, any thoughts, input you have? You know,
it's like I said, it's about those financial policies. Like, docs are scared about like asking for a deposit for chair time. Like, there's a culture in a lot of practices of like fear of asking for money. They just want the patient to like, oh, here, take all my money. Oh, I'll make sure you get paid. And they're the patients, it's not a consumer behavior. Consumers are not going to willingly give you their money without you asking for it. But generally, if you've done a good job, you've earned the right to ask for it. So I think a lot of times docs feel like they're begging or asking for money. They just don't like it. We have to realize is if you've done certain things to a certain standard and serviced that patient properly, you've earned all the right to ask for your money. You've done it. And I had a practice in Michigan, really crazy scenario, like lots of money every month in patient portion didn't get collected. Like, I mean, like it never got collected actually. And the doc's like, I can't figure out why this is happening. Why is patient portion never getting collected? And I went to the practice and swear to you, it was this simple. I'm in the ops and I'm watching people, and the hygienists and the assistants are saying things to the patient like, oh, you're good to go home, and let them just leave. And I was like, how about go to the front desk and get checked out with Sarah? Oh, you're saying, you're literally saying to them, you're good to go home. And that consumer's like, cool, don't got to pay. Can be in and out. I'm going to be in and out. Listen, people are most loyal to their time and their wallet first. Patients are not loyal to making sure you get your money. That's your loyalty to maintain. That's your thing to handle. And it's simple procedural things like making sure you completely paid in full before you do certain procedures, taking deposits for chair time. When they're leaving, do not say you're good to go home. Say, listen, this is the deal. You want a reappointment rate of 90%. You want to have really good A&R. I'll tell you one thing to solve both those problems at the same time is every single human that comes to that practice goes to that front desk and checks out before they leave. Every single one. And that front desk is the last line of defense for those two problems, because that front desk is going to make sure most people leave with an appointment and they collect deposits for chair time. They collect undue payment. They collect missed payments. Like, when I say procedurally, it's a really simple thing. It's a cultural thing that like 10 out of 10 practices, 7 don't practice this. I am astonished how often I'm working with a practice and I'm like, I'm looking at their A&R and their problems. And I'm like, seems like no one ever finishes treatment. And docs are like, oh, yeah, well, treatment compliance is so hard. I'm like, yeah, it's so hard because you're not taking payment up front and you're not getting the patient committed. It's not that the patient isn't compliant. It's that you're not doing your side. And a lot of times with that, it's like, I'm like, do you take a deposit for chair time for this $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 surgery? And they're like, well, no, we don't. We just throw them on the calendar. I'm like, so there's no glue keeping this together? No. I'm like, my wife's hairdresser gets like a $60 deposit for my wife to book a hairdresser's appointment. That's a hairdresser who went to a vocational school for a year to get a license to be a hairdresser. You're a dentist who's, you know, $500,000 in debt in education. You deserve a deposit for your time. And, you know, it kind of contradicts, like, it isn't a barrier, guys. You guys are putting the barriers in the wrong place. You're trying to put these barriers before the patient becomes a patient. But then once they become a patient and they've already chosen you as your dental home, you're scared to do all these things. It's really in reverse. And it's really bizarre to me. It's like, hey, listen, I want to get paid for every x-ray and I'm not doing free consults. Cool. Hey, do you think you put deposits for chair time? No, I can't do that. Like, so you're going to tell them before they're a patient, they got to pay for a $100 consult, but you're scared to ask for a deposit for chair time for $15,000 surgery? Makes no sense to me. Reverse that. Get them in the chair.
Man, Matt, just spitting the truth. I like, seriously though, that just spoke to me right there. And
it's like, where's the target right here?
So guys, what Matt is basically saying, and I agree 100%, don't put up barriers for patients to get into your practice, but you should put up barriers for patients to not show up for appointments, for patients to not pay you. So that's where we should be having these barriers. And, you know, the deposit policy, that's huge. And that's not really an AR thing per se, but it is a protect your time and, you know, make sure that you're hitting your production goals. Because I know docs, you know, who tell me, oh yeah, my treatment schedule was full today and you know, 75% of the patients didn't show up. Well, guess what? They don't take deposits. So if you don't take a deposit, it's very easy. That is actually a barrier for the patient to come to their appointment because they have no skin in the game. And if they're going to come, they owe the full amount. So, whereas, you know, on the far other end of the spectrum, if you pre-collect in full, which we try to do when possible for our implant offices, the patient has no reason not to show up. In fact, they're so motivated because they've already paid for it. So, you know, I think by not making a deposit policy, you're basically putting up a barrier for that patient to even show up for their treatment. So that is huge. I agree. It's a little bit, I think, a side note with the deposit policy, but I'm all for them, guys. That's something we didn't used to do. And once we implemented it, I mean, our no-show rate for treatment appointments is minuscule. And 100%. When patients don't show up, it's usually because it was a small, you know, maybe it was like a filling and they had like a $50 deposit. And there are times where it's just like, you know what, either life got in the way. And if it was a true issue, you know, we usually try to work with patients as much as possible. If they just no call, no show, you know, there are those times that happens too. Cause you know what, there are some people that are okay eating $50, but you know what, if it's a bigger appointment and you reserve 4 or 5 hours of, you know, your schedule that day, that patient's not going to eat $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, whatever the, you know, deposit was for that appointment.
Well, I'll tell you this, if they know they're not going to be there, they're going to call and try to work it out with you and be proactive.
Yeah.
100%.
They're definitely not going to no call.
They're going to be involved in the process where otherwise they won't be. It's funny. Docs are like, I want to get paid for my time, all this stuff. Well, listen, there's nothing more frustrating to me than when I go to a practice to visit and we have morning huddle and the day looks awesome. And by 10:30, docs, like, my day completely fell apart. Doc, you want to get paid for your time. I got to get paid for my x-rays and my consults. You're trying to get paid for the wrong time. Take the deposits, get paid for the time your hands are moving in that operatory, and ensure that your day doesn't fall apart. Stop wasting energy on trying to get paid for the things that lead to treatment. Get paid for the treatment. Get the deposit. Your efforts are in the wrong place.
Well, I think that happens a lot, Matt. I think that happens a lot where your production scheduled for the day is higher than what your end of day production is. And in our practices, it's often the opposite because we do have such a high show rate. So like whatever is scheduled that day for the most part, typically happens. But then we also add in same-day treatment because we're big on that. So, I mean, there's a lot of days where we end up finishing and the production's a good bit higher.
So Andrew, I
and that's on the flip side is a great feeling.
Andrew, I see data for this, right? Because we have such a good picture of the data from DI and I see our data. It's very rare that a practice has $10,000 in treatment scheduled and does $13,000 in treatment that day. Usually, so we have 10,000 scheduled, we're lucky to get 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, right? Like it's like if you go at it this way, if you're embracing same day treatment, you can do right away, and you're taking deposits for suit. Guys, I'm going to talk about this kind of like risk mitigation a little bit. If you're insuring the treatment you've worked hard to develop and schedule, and the way the vehicle for insuring it and making it secure is the deposit, and then you're open to the opportunities that are being presented that day to you, and you're getting them done, so there's no risk of losing them and putting them off, guys. You always have a higher probability of getting treatment done right then and there than you do rescheduling it later. You're creating an opportunity for failure. By doing these two acts, you could have $12,000 scheduled for the day and do 16. If you don't do this, you'll never experience that. And what I'll tell you is the practices that do this, that I see the data for, they routinely do that. Like if I looked at your practices, which I can do, I would say the majority of your days, you meet what's scheduled and beat it a little bit. Most of my practices, the majority of their days on average, schedule and get 2/3 of it because they don't embrace one, the easy same day treatment that shows up. I have docs like, I just don't do same day treatment.
Oh, yeah,
why? I don't understand. So you don't want to help the patient. I don't get, isn't our first loyalty to the patient? Isn't our job to do what's best for the patient all the time? Isn't it always better if I'm in the operatory, the opportunity is there and the patient's there? For treatment plan compliance to get it done, let's just get it done. And if you ensure the opportunity you scheduled with deposits, you can have the days Andrew's talking about.
So let's get back to the AAR thing, guys. I do think this deposit thing is huge. And it's something we've talked about before, but as far as not leaving money on the table, which I guess that goes to too, with your AR. So first of all, strong financial policies as far as your patients go, you know, with that, the deposit policies, but also just pre-collecting before taking the patient back, not extending treatment payment plans beyond the end of treatment for patients. And I guess the only real payment plan we have per se is for Invisalign, but we apply the same principles. So it's a much longer treatment. You know, typically patients are in 6 to 8 months. There's a month of planning on the front end. When we take the attachments off for the patient, they are paid in full. And that is a hard and fast policy. So even if, you know, the patient had a faster treatment plan and they've got a, you know, larger balance than normal at the end, if they want to finish, they've got to finish paying in full. And we make the patients aware of that. So it's not a surprise when they show up to that visit, hey, surprise, you got to pay off your, you know, $1,600 balance today or whatever it is. But we won't take the detachments off because again, once you take those attachments off, there's a good chance you're not collecting the rest of that balance for that patient. But if the attachments are still on, I mean, the patient wants to get them off. If you don't take them off, they're going to have to pay somebody somewhere else to take them off anyways. They're a lot more likely to finish paying off their balance for you. And so, you know, we've had times where we've talked to patients and, you know, as they're getting close to the end of the treatment, you know, hey, it looks like you're going to finish a little bit early. You're going to have this balance. And if the patient can't pay it off at time, that's when we're offering financing options. So a lot of times patients will do our payment plan for most of their treatment. They'll get to the end and they'll finance the last $1,000 or whatever it is, Sunbid or Cherry or Care Credit. The other option, sometimes we get near the end and the patient's like, you know, hey, I don't want to finance, you know, I got this balance. So it's like, all right, is there anything we can tweak with a refinement? I'll happily, it doesn't take me very long. It doesn't cost me that much more money. I'll do a little refinement for the patient. You know, if there's a tooth that, you know, maybe is not 100% perfect, they would have been okay with it, but we can make it a little bit better. Let's just put you through, you know, 2 months of refinements. And then, cause we do comprehensive Invisalign, it doesn't cost me anymore. I don't pay another lab fee on it. Let's put you through 2 months of refinements. That gives you another 2 months to pay off this balance. And that way we can make sure instead of 99% perfect, you know, it can be 100% perfect for you. Patients are usually on board for that as well. So there's always an option. But the one thing we won't do is we won't take off those attachments until that balance is paid in full. For example, we had a patient who wanted to quote unquote pause their Invisalign treatment for one reason or another, and they wanted us to remove their attachments. And we said, no problem. We're happy to do that. but you've got to pay off your balance. And they were only like halfway through their treatment. So again, guys, like just don't fall victim to that. Once you quote unquote complete a treatment for a patient, if they're not paid off, if they didn't finance, it's a lot tougher to collect the money. I used to do a lot more of that to quote unquote try to lower barriers for my practice. But in fact, I was creating barriers for us collecting money. So, you know, maybe our adjusted production went up and things look great, but our revenue, you know, is actually going down. And now our percent of collections is down. So, you know, there's a lot of practices that I talk to that are collecting 80% of what they produce, adjusted production, like 80% of what they should be collecting, they're collecting, or 85% or 90%. That is a lot of, I mean, if you're a $1 million practice and you only collect 80% of that, you're leaving $200,000 on the table in uncollected revenue. If you collect 85%, you're leaving 150. If you collect 90%, you're leaving 100,000. Your goals for your collection percentage of your adjusted, again, this is adjusted. This is after the appropriate write-offs, discounts, anything like that is applied. Your collection goal for your adjusted production should be in the very upper 90%. We're talking 98, 99%. Like that's what you should be shooting for. And it's very attainable. My general practices typically do collect somewhere in that range of 98, 90. We weren't always that way. We were that practice that was probably closer to like 90. We were leaving a lot of money on the table for a while. But we're like 98, 99% consistently. My implant practices, on the other hand, collect over 100%. And the reason for that phenomenon is because we pre-collect in full for a lot of our implant surgeries. So we're actually collecting more than we're producing month in and month out, year in and year out, which is nice. I mean, that's great if you can do it that way. It's a little bit tougher to do it that way for general practices, both because, you know, you've got the insurance that you're relying on, as well as you're not always collecting as much for these like smaller procedures, you know, pre-collecting and full, all that stuff. So again, guys, there are practices that do it. If you've got stricter financial policies than me, that's great. You know, as long as it's not creating a barrier, you do have to kind of dance that fine line. You want to have strong policies that are going to be a safeguard against you not collecting, you know, the money that you're producing, but you also don't want to make the policy so strict that it's preventing you from doing production, because you could have the best financial policies in the world, but if you're not actually doing any dentistry, it's kind of meaningless.
Yeah, and part of that, guys, you know, two things that help out a lot with this is financing and the membership program. So if you have 10 new patient consults to come through the practice and you're not offering financing effectively, and you close someone for $6,000-$8,000 in treatments, a few different procedures, and they get two out of the $6,000 or $8,000 done, like you're missing out all the opportunity level. You're allowing for mistakes where people can forget to collect the money. You're allowing for failures. If the patient comes in and they finance and all the financing is up front and it gets funded, now we're just getting through dentistry. We're not having to chase payments and stuff. And one metric for this, guys, and we talked about this in the financing episode, is look at how many credit apps you've been doing average per month and make a goal to increase that. So, you know, we've been doing 8 to 10 a month. Let's do 30 and see how that works out. What you'll find is your A&R will get tighter and your collections will grow because the bank is going to pay you. They're going to facilitate the money. Now, docs who are scarcity mindset are going to say, but Matt, we got to pay that clearing rate. Well, the reality is you wouldn't get any of that. You wouldn't get a large percentage of that money without paying that clearing rate. It's kind of like an insurance fee. So it eliminates a lot of these failures. And the membership program takes fee for service patients and makes them more sticky, and they pay in full, and you're not waiting for insurance money and stuff. And that'll make your A&R tighter too. All these things, as you layer them, will get you to that awesome A&R metric where you're getting what you should really get. And docs, it's so funny. Docs are so hyper-focused on getting paid what they're worth. But these things ensure that. They make it happen.
Now, I want to go back to the Invisalign payment plan real quick. For those of you wondering, if you're not offering a payment plan for Invisalign, that is one area where I really do recommend that in-house financing, in-house payment plan. It's allowed us to grow to a Diamond Plus Invisalign office, which we're going to hit this 6 months without question. If you're wondering if I get burned by that at all, I ran a report recently. We had $208,000 in payment plan dollars that were out there. Of that $208,000, 200 and 2,000 were current. So that means there was $6,000 of the 208,000 that wasn't current. Now, that doesn't mean that we weren't collecting that 6,000. That just meant there was 6,000 out there that was a little bit past due. And my guess is we're probably going to collect 75% of that $6,000 that was past due. There may be a very small portion that ends up going unpaid. Now, let's just even assume I don't collect any of that $6,000. So 202 out of 208, we're talking a less than 3% default rate at that point. Going back to the financing, you know, the just traditional financing, even if you use one of the products with a great merchant fee, you're still typically looking at 4 to 5%. So, you know, I'm beating even those better merchant fees with in-house financing. And furthermore, patients aren't paying interest. And beyond that, patients don't have to apply. They don't have to have a credit check done. There is a much lower barrier to entry for that in-house financing. So again, not a big fan of in-house financing in general for treatment, because the treatment typically is done in one to two visits. And once it's done, it's a lot tougher to collect and it's a lot more likely that patient's going to ghost you. But I am a big fan of it for orthodontics like clear aligners, like Invisalign, because it's a longer treatment plan. And as long as those patients have those buttons, or if you're doing traditional ortho, they've got brackets in their teeth, they're going to want them off at some point. They're going to have to pay somebody else to take them off. It's a lot less likely that they're going to just disappear on you. Even if they disappear for a little bit, they're probably going to come back. And we've had that happen time and time again, where a patient disappears for a few months, they come back, they make good on their past due Invisalign balance, and we resume their Invisalign treatment. So again, guys, while I am an advocate for having great financial policies for your practice, I also advocate, you know, not creating barriers to patients accepting treatment like Invisalign. And in that aspect, I do recommend that you look at doing an in-house payment plan. For those wondering, our in-house Invisalign payment plan, it is $395 down, $400 a month. So it's basically like a reasonably priced car payment. That is what Invisalign is at our office. No interest, no credit check.
I want to ask you a question. So a lot of times docs, I advise to never be, they do not finance dentures. Do not finance through your practice these things with lab fees. Don't
100% not.
You can't repossess the items. There's no real like equity, or there's no collateral, right? When you're doing Invisalign, though, the collateral is what's in their mouth, right? And they want to go to where they are, and you can distribute trays as they pay also.
Yeah. If you're doing the payment plan, guys, don't just give the patient all their trays, because again, they can finish your treatment and then, you know, at that point they could disappear early on and pay someone a small amount to get their attachments removed. So we typically give six trays at a time.
And that's really it. You guys have to have a process built for this, but it will get you to that better accounts receivable scenario. If you layer all these things up, you'll have a really good high A&R. If you don't take a deposit for chair time, you don't have prepayment, you don't have financing in place, you're not doing these things, you're leaving a lot of your income up to chance of lots of different people, the patient paying, your staff collecting, different entities paying you. If you don't put these places in place to control and ensure your income, you're gambling with these other people and these other things facilitating your income. You're really gambling with it.
I want to talk a little bit about insurance AR and how to control that. So, you know, as I had mentioned earlier in this episode, when we first launched my first startup, I didn't outsource at all. I had one front desk personnel that was kind of doing everything, and things kind of didn't happen exactly as they were supposed to. So we had a lot of bad outstanding AR for insurance. So what we do at this point in time is I have outsourced. I use a company called Lightspeed that I've mentioned before. They are very competitively priced and they do a good job. They do our insurance verification. They also do our insurance billing. I also have a dedicated insurance director for my practices who works closely with our outsourcing company to ensure that they're doing what they're supposed to. She audits, you know, reports with them, make sure that, you know, appeals are being done, you know, in a timely manner. She also posts the payments. So they do the verification, they submit the claims. When payments come in, my insurance director actually posts the payments. And we found that was where the most issues were occurring, was when the outsource company's posting the payments, because they don't know your practice as well. things were being written off that shouldn't have been written off. Things weren't being written off that should have been written off. And it actually was creating a lot more work for my insurance director than when she just handles the postings themselves. So that is kind of a little bit of a hybrid way to do it versus, you know, if you fully outsource, then you are putting 100% of the trust in that outsourcing company. And even if they're doing a good job, if you don't have somebody in-house that truly, you know, has your practice's best interest in mind 100%, it can be a challenge sometime. I don't like the idea of putting 100% of my trust in an outsourcing company for something so important, but I like the hybrid model. And the thing is, my amazing insurance director is actually getting ready to go to hygiene school. We're very excited for her, but she's going to be cutting back to more part-time. The nice thing is, because of this outsourcing company and the systems we have in place, she can still do the majority of her job part-time, remotely, a lot of it, while we still have this great outsourcing company doing a lot of the legwork. So if we had it completely in-house and you have one insurance director and, you know, they quit, they move, they leave for, you know, brighter, you know, opportunities, then all of a sudden you're scrambling trying to replace the entire system with somebody new. So again, for us, that hybrid model has worked very well. It's kept our insurance AR in check. You know, most of our outstanding insurance payments are within, you know, the first 90 days. So, you know, once insurance payments get past 90 days outstanding, that's when we're starting to be worried about actually collecting those insurance payments. So you want the majority of outstanding insurance payments to be within 90 days, you know, recent. If you're not outsourcing and you're not auditing, I would take a deep dive into what your insurance AR looks like. You know, look at what percentage of your insurance AR is past 90 days due. Consider hiring an outsourcing company, whether it's Lightspeed. I mean, there's a million of them out there. There's a lot of really good ones. I like Lightspeed because of their competitive price. But, you know, vet your companies, find somebody that you like. But I still recommend having somebody knowledgeable in-house working with that outsourcing company in kind of that hybrid model. So that's my take on minimizing insurance AR. I don't know if you have any thoughts there.
No, I agree with you. I apologize, guys, for yawning. You know, it's one of those things where I'm on solo. No, you're not. I'm on solo daddy duty this week. My wife's away at a wellness retreat. I got three little ones, 5, 3, and 1. And between that and one leg, my one-year-old knows I can't chase her. So it's like my two-year-old knows I can't chase her. So like I have my leg off my wheelchair and she runs for me. And I'm like, ah, this is hard. So I'm just tired from kids. So, you know, the hybrid model you talked about is really critical. A lot of times docs think like, I'm going to go get this insurance company and I replace this individual. They use an insurance company to amplify the effectiveness of this individual. So now you can use their time, repurpose it other ways, right? Like it's not a replacement of, it's a way to amplify their effectiveness at collecting all your money is what it is. And it's a tandem team.
I take that approach in all of our outsourcing, Matt. So, you know, it's the same way with our phone company, you know, or our call center, Golden Goose. It's not like my team doesn't take phone calls, but, you know, Golden Goose does a lot of the legwork for us to take a lot of that timely task off the hands of my front office team. But you still have to be able to answer patient calls in your practice. Do that for marketing. You know, I use Matt's company, as you guys know, Energize, for my marketing. I've been using them for years. That said, we still work with, I don't just be like, hey, do our marketing, get patients in the door. I have meetings every 2 weeks with, you know, my marketing director there to make sure that we're looking at the numbers. We're looking at what ads are working, what ads aren't working. I'm giving my input. So I think it's important, no matter what service it is that you're outsourcing, you should still have somebody, whether it's you or somebody else in your practice, you should have somebody on the inside that is working as an ambassador to that outsourcing company rather than just trusting or just letting the outsourcing company do 100%. I think it's very important that it's a teamwork effort where you've got somebody inside the practice working with them as well.
So. Hey guys, we need to wrap this episode up. Like we said in a couple past episodes, we're going to start working on a series of me and Andrew actively trying to shop for cloud-based, you know, cloud-based for service-based, server-based, a big thing right now. And me and Andrew are shopping currently. And we're going to take you guys along with the journey as we shop these companies to figure out how we're going to spend our money. Andrew, do you want to close the show out?
Yeah, guys. So I guess, you know, just kind of recapping a little bit here. AR is huge. You know, production numbers are great, but they're kind of meaningless if you don't actually collect the money you produce. So you want to make sure that you've got strict financial policies in place. You don't want to create barriers for patients to get into your practice, but you do want to create barriers for patients not to pay you and for patients to not show up for appointments. So that's where like deposit policies are huge. Don't complete treatment on a patient until balance is paid in full. I do recommend payment plans for things like Invisalign. And then insurance AR is huge. You either need to have somebody who's really knowledgeable within your practice doing it, and you need to make sure you're seeing audits of what the insurance AR looks like, or think about a hybrid approach like we do, especially if you're a bigger office. You know, if I didn't outsource, I would have to have like three people dedicated just to doing it, if not maybe even more, for the two offices where we're really a network. So, you know, by outsourcing, I'm able to reduce the number of team members within my office, but I also still have somebody working closely with that outsourcing company. So I think that's huge too. Again, guys, you know, from a numbers standpoint, if you're a $1 million practice and your collections are only 80%, you're leaving $200,000 on the table every single year. And listen, that's money that could be in your bank account. It could be.
That $200,000 is going to make
for a lot of practices. That's your margin. That's your EBITDA. You know, you might have a 0% EBITDA, whereas you could have had a 20% EBITDA if you would have collected that money. So, I mean, it is every dollar that you collect that you weren't collecting before makes a huge impact on your bottom line, guys. So very, very important stuff. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Again, guys, if you are enjoying, please like, please hit the subscribe or follow button. Please leave us a review and please share with your friends in the dental community. We really do enjoy bringing you guys this unbiased look at how you can be more successful and happier in your dental practice. Hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.